There's no what?
There's no clock in here where you start.
That's
big,
true.
Big clock in the studio.
Oh, we got computers.
You have to rely on there things is. Like computers and watches.
I had a sundial outside.
There's
not a clock in this city.
We
man.
Were just outside, and there is a hot air balloon going up
yep.
right now.
It's
nearby.
Very pretty.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. Have you guys ever done that?
No.
No, I was going to ask you guys.
That is something I really, really, really want to do.
Have fun and tell me about it.
How often do you think? Listen.
Oh, my God. For those of you that didn't pick up on that, that is Dave being upset that Nate and I went out and went to a piano bar last night.
It actually wasn't. No. It was my way of saying I'm never going
never,
to do
ever.
That. But yes, we'll get to that in a second.
A couple of questions. First off, like, what do you think the baseline rate is for this? And the second one is, how often do you think the operator of the hot air balloon gets handed, you know, a couple of Ben Franklins to turn the other way for a couple?
Really?
Oh, you mean like... You mean when there's a couple, meaning human beings in love?
400 foot club.
It's such a tiny basket. I think it would be incredibly intimate. Now, are you talking about like turn the other way for a couple? Like, I mean, like for, you know,
like turn the other way and cough.
Yep.
The whole thing. Home. Like, I mean, are we talking the full Monty here or are we?
I'm just saying, like, hey, dude, here's a couple hundred bucks, like, wink, wink. You know, if you want to watch, fine, but don't.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. It would be incredibly, it'd be way too intimate because he's right there. I mean, I think the furthest he could be away is like where the two of you are, pretty much, from where I'm sitting,
yeah.
Which is about six. It's about a Katie length.
Katie.
Yeah, about six feet. This is
how
6'4".
We measure things.
Yeah,
in,
by Katie's.
Katie's.
Katie meters.
Katie away.
Katometers. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not. Guess what? There's some things that I don't do. Okay. Well, there's a lot. Number one, I don't do hot air balloons because I don't understand them and I don't like it. Number two.
If you understood the science behind it.
Don't care.
You?
Two.
Because it's really basic science.
High enough.
It's like the most basic science.
High enough to die. Too low for parachutes. Okay.
So I've actually gone to the big hot air balloon festival in Reno before.
No.
And the only thing about, and this is prior to me being on this morning show, the only bad thing about doing the hot air balloon thing is you have to get up early in the morning to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
this is the time when the sun is coming up and everything.
The air's got to be relatively cool.
It
I
does.
Imagine, too.
Yeah, and but it's the time that you want to be doing it because it's gorgeous at that time to be able to like go up when the sun is rising and it was really really amazing. I
heard the
do it.
Sun also rises. No, I never heard it, actually. I read it.
You've seen it?
Mm. Yeah, you can see that. What are you saying? You see the sunrise in a hot air balloon?
No.
Oh, he was doing a thing.
Yeah,
oh, I was a bit.
Yeah.
Okay, I did. Okay, I'm sorry. We're all still. I got
gotcha.
You.
Yeah, we're sleep deprived.
Let's set
we're
the stage. We're in Las Vegas, and we're going to be a little
it's
more
a Hemingway book.
Rambly than usual. Because
try not to be.
But it's going to happen because there's a lot of tiring going on right now, and this isn't a complaint. We're in Vegas. We're getting paid to be in Vegas. Are you kidding me? You know, it's fine, but you don't sleep a lot down here, and especially with our schedule
they
yesterday,
kind of make it that way,
right? And you don't know, and they pump all this oxygen in the casinos, and you have this
I'm
false
convinced
sense
they
of
pump it into our rooms.
Yeah, I think
too.
So. I think so. And so like yesterday, not a lot of sleep happening. We're now on day three since you guys got here Sunday. I'm on day five. And so today is going to be, we've purposely cleared out the post-show schedule for nap day. Today will be nap day for everybody. We're all getting our teddy bears out and we're going to go sleepy good nights.
I got more sleep last night than I get, you know, coming back from Kings games without a doubt. Like
really?
Yes.
Three times the sleep. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like when we come back from a road trip, like the last game of the season, came back from Houston. We landed at 2 a.m. I got home at 2:30. I was up at 4 and at the station at 4:45.
Fun.
Yeah. So I mean, last night.
I'll
was
bet
like,
you didn't enjoy yourself as much on those Kings trips.
Well, because last night, for example, so we went to the game. We left the game.
It was like 8:30 or 9 before we got out of there, right?
Start of the beginning. So we did the show. Yesterday, and thank you so much for listening. And by the way, big show today as well. We'll get to that in a second. And then Nate and I took off immediately after the show because we had a friend who had a
tremendous stroke of luck, is what we had.
Very much so. We got a call from a buddy of ours down here, and he had a foursome at the Wynn. And if you golf, then you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, the Wynn Golf Course is absolutely legendary and amazing, and you can't get on. And the
you can't find the place either.
No, you can't. Yes. Yeah. The greens fees to get on the Wynn are, I believe, slightly more expensive than the greens fees to get on Pebble Beach. If not, they're the same amount. It's stupid, and we would never pay that amount to do it.
They charge per degree of what the temperature is here.
Times five.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we get there. Well, we leave here. It takes forever. It's 5 minutes till we're supposed to tee off. The security guy won't let us get out of the car because Katie's dropping us off there where we want to get out, which is right by the golf course. So he tells us to go right over to this entrance two doors down and just walk through the casino. No big deal. Well,
Was it like a 15-minute walk to get
it? It was through the casino, and then apparently the Wynn has 740 ballrooms.
All of the ballrooms, all of the conference.
And we're both carrying very, very heavy golf bags.
Yeah.
And so we wind through. It was a 15-20-minute walk. And then we get there, and I didn't know what kind of setup it was, but it was one of these setups where our caddy took our bags, and
then
we had a cold towel, and here's
God, you carried those all the way across the casino? Let me take that.
And me being, like, welfare golf player like I normally am, where I roll in, you know, we're average Joes, let's be honest. I'm rolling in with, like, an AM/PM bag filled with sunflower seeds,
four Gatorades,
and all that, and they look at me, and they're very, very nice. But they were just like, oh, excuse me, sir, we have Gatorades in your cooler. You can leave those in the locker. Yeah, so
we don't allow outside food or beverage, but we'll hold on to those for you.
And it's not just we don't allow outside food and beverage.
Well, thank God we stopped and got that stuff for you before we...
It's all in my room now.
It was like taking the kids to camp yesterday. We had to stop and get juice boxes.
Yes,
and like...
because we hadn't eaten. All we'd had for breakfast was coffee.
Oh, well, I gave you some macaroons.
And a couple of macaroons, which, as you know, is nourishing and lasts you the whole day. It's energy food. So, and by the way, aren't those macarons?
Macaroons.
No, aren't macaroons a completely different thing? I thought macaroons were... Isn't there a macaroon and a macaron?
No.
No, I had this
argument with some macaroni.
Somebody on the text line is going to help me out here because I got schooled by this. Like, I remember this very specific conversation that a macaroon is one thing and a macaron is like the little sandwichy cookie with the stuff in the middle that we had yesterday. And a macaroon, like if you Google image macaroon, and then I think it's macaron, R-O-N, with a little flingy above the O, the slash. They're two totally different things with totally different pronunciations. I never knew this. Anyways. So we eat that.
So we're at the Wynn.
So you've got no sleep, morning show, golf. It was 105 yesterday, pretty consistently. Mm-hmm. So we're in the sun all freaking day. And it's like desert somewhere. Like we're dipping the golf towels, or I was at least, in the ice and then putting them over our head and putting our hat on top. So we play. We were playing with our buddies Phil and Phil Oates and Scott Moak, who's the voice of the Kings.
That's right. That's Scott Moak.
And Phil Oates, one of the nicest guys in town, and one of the Kings minority owners. Great guy. Phil can't just play golf. Phil plays golf, but needs. There always has to be
something.
It's got to be a competition. There's got to be a friendly competition. But
which, for the record, like we're in favor of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not begrudgingly,
not at all. So we decided to play Moak and Phil versus Nate and myself. And here's how the skill goes. Moak is an amazing golfer.
Like he's definitely better than the 12 handicap.
Yeah, he's not a 12 handicap.
But he's not a 71, didn't he?
71, 72, oh, something like that. Sure. Yeah.
So yeah, just to put it in perspective,
Nate's the second best.
But he opted not to go to the Rio Olympics this year,
and then Phil and I kind of trade play. Phil and I are both duffers. You know, some days I'm better than him. Some days he's better than me. Yesterday was a day where Phil. First off, we start out.
Yesterday was a day where you were not even close to as good as Phil.
Here's the thing. I forgot my golf shoes at home, so Moak brings me a pair of his shoes. I didn't know he wears 13s.
Right.
I wear 14.5, but you know.
So same thing, it works.
first two holes, I'm wearing his shoes, and they're way too tight.
Yeah.
You know, way too tight. I par the first two holes. Oh my God.
Right out of the gate, white hot.
It's amazing.
You need your toes to be squeezed.
Right, but then it was hurting so bad. Here's what's great about the Wynn. you can actually order loaner shoes. You don't order food or drinks or anything. You tell your caddy, and she hauls them in, and they deliver it out there.
Uh-huh. And apparently, your caddy was a better golfer than all of you.
Oh God, she was a scratch golfer. Yeah. She was amazing. So we. Anyways, we're going back and forth, but from about hole 5 to hole 15, I completely fell apart. Couldn't hit a ball.
You shot the bed.
Actually, yeah, Matt, that. Go ahead and hit dump. You can't.
That is not a bad word.
Yes, it is.
Yes, you think it's the past tense of.
We'll take a break. That's a good point to take a break. We'll come back.
That's two for me.
We have a big show for you today.
What do you think that word
means? You will have an opportunity to win tickets to the American Century Championship Celebrity Golf Tournament, and we'll explain more about that. We'll be doing that in the 8 o'clock hour. We spoke to DeMarcus Cousins and Jimmer Fredette. Yesterday, and so they'll visit with us today. A lot of stuff to get to. We never did get to our Kings villains. And at some point today, I think we're going to broach the following topic about, you know, Carmelo Anthony spoke out over the weekend. There was an incident with the Minnesota Lynx yesterday involving a protest and police officers. We see this crossover. So at some point today, I think we're going to try to very clumsily approach the whole cross-section of politics and sports, which I'm sure is a topic that will go smoothly and nobody's going to get upset about on the text line.
Oh.
So we'll do that. It's a large, packed show here from Las Vegas CBS Radio headquarters. Thanks to them, Tracy, and everybody for hooking us up and treating us so well. And, of course, thanks to Jiffy Lube for making it possible. Anytime we travel, make sure you support them because they support us and we support you. JiffyLubeCA.com for big, huge, powerful coupons. Matt George back in studio taking care of us there as well. We'll take a break. We're right back on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. From the 209, although Katie and I researched it outside, it's just something to learn. A macaroon is a small cake made from almonds and coconut. A macaron is a French sweet meringue-based confection made with egg whites. And that's what we had yesterday morning. The only reason I knew
really
that,
good,
it's not because I'm smart. It's because I got it wrong like a couple years ago, and now I'll never forget it. Because I was like, no, it's a macaroon.
Right.
Macaron. Right. Now you're giving me a weird squinty eye.
No, that's a lot.
Yeah. Got to pick back up. We left a cliffhanger there, and then we got to get into the actual show. So we're playing golf. We didn't just bring up the golf story to talk about how we're playing golf. There's a point
here.
So nobody could stop Scott Moak yesterday. He played amazing. I think he shot a 73 with borrowed clubs.
71.
I'm sorry. On a par 70. Shot one over. That's just
But he's a 12 index. I was trying to explain to Katie exactly what it would mean to me if I shot 11 strokes better than my handicap. I was like, you have to understand that we would not be going to the Kings Summer League game. We would not be leaving the casino floor because that would be by far the best round of golf that I've ever played.
Ever.
And I'd be buying drinks all night long.
Yeah, and we'd be making you. If Nate, you're a better golfer than me, but if I broke 80, much less if you were in the low 70s, we wouldn't be on the air the rest of the week because we'd be celebrating. Moak shoots a 71 with his 12 index, right? Right. So anyways.
And borrowed clubs, which that's pretty amazing.
No offense to Phil, because like I say, he played better than I did yesterday, so who am I to talk? But Scott alone will be there. So here's our big stakes bet. You know, when we say bet, it's just a friendly competition. But the bet was we were playing best ball. I won't get into the reasons why. Two on two. I won't get into the details. But whoever has the best score per hole, they win. And then, you know, you score holes. Whoever has the most holes won by the end of the 18, they win. Well, by the ninth hole, they're up 5 holes, which
they closed us out pretty quickly.
Very quickly. So what we did is we kind of doubled up. And so the winner would get a hat was the bet, a win hat, you know, a souvenir each. And so Nate and I would have had to buy each of them a hat. So what we decided to do is we got an extra stroke per hole on the back because they realized they were kicking the hell out of us so bad. So if they beat us on the back nine, the hat would have changed to a shirt each. And if we beat them on the back nine, even Steven, no one pays anything.
Right.
But here's what you got to understand. A hat at the win, and me being me, I checked all the prices in the pro shop before we teed off.
Golf crap's already expensive, more than it should be.
A hat at the win was $65.
Oh, good Lord.
A shirt at the win, the cheapest.
Oh, my gosh.
$160. So understand that.
That's a really nice pair of shoes.
Shirt.
No, I'm saying I'd look at things and
I understand what you're saying. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I got you. I was like,
when
no, it's a shirt.
A golf shirt when you can get a really sexy pair of heels.
So
like the ones we were
agreed. I agree with you, but I don't think Phil and Scott would have let us buy them heels. So
Phil's got the legs, though. Let's be honest.
That's a good point right there. So we're going back and forth on the bat. We were up a couple, then we were down a couple. And I want to reiterate, I completely fell apart. And the problem is that if the two top golfers who have the best scores, if they tie, it goes to the next guys. And then whoever wins between the bottom two, that team gets the hole. There were, I think, three holes on the back nine alone where Nate actually tied Scott, but then Phil beat me. So basically, I lost us the hole personally and am costing Nathan some money.
Right.
Now, understand that these shirts are $160 a piece. With tax combined, it's about $350 between the two of us that we would have had to fork over and win golf shirts. Mm-hmm. We get to the 18th hole.
I'm sure there's service fees, too, because that's on everything.
Yeah, of course, and resort fee, and watering fee. We get to the 18th hole, and we're tied. We're tied going into 18. Uh-huh. If we push that hole, we buy the hats, which would be about $130-140 bucks, $70 a piece. If we lose, we buy them golf shirts, $300-350 right in there. And if we win, even Steven, we all go home. Well, final hole, we all tee off beautifully. My second shot out of bounds, my third shot out of bounds, and I almost broke my 3-wood over my knee, except I was on the wind golf course. I couldn't do it.
I had to talk Dave off the
like
leg,
Nate was
like
consoling
half a
me
dozen times yesterday.
Katie, you know me well enough to know like when I get really angry, I get really quiet, and I was dead quiet.
He's going,
and,
hey, I'm about this close.
I was
this close to breaking that club.
I wanted to push the cart down a hill and just yell and beat things, right? But because it wasn't that I was playing bad, which was a
that
huge part of it.
To cost
him, I'm affecting another person, and that's where it really gets to me.
Right.
And I'm frustrated. And golf is stupid, so I'm out of it. The only way we can win is if Nate beats Scott Moak, who shot a 1 over par. That's how good he's shooting. So we get up there on the green. Nate's ball is up on top of the greens. It's downhill, and it's on the fringe. It's not on the green.
Right.
It's in the like second cut. Correct, Nate?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he has to putt from off the green, and so we're trying to get it close, and maybe just we're looking at best a tie.
Right.
And if Nate can,
buying hats.
If Nate can just get it within 5 feet, we're there. And Nate, God bless you. Nate hadn't made it. I actually made more putts yesterday than Nate did.
And I'm talking about like inches on all of them, you know, just like grazing by and stopping.
He didn't have the touch.
He did not have the touch. We get there. Like I said, we're just hoping that he can get it close. The caddy's lining him up, and the caddy was a scratch golfer, and she was amazing, but she had no idea how to read putts all day. She was giving us the wrong advice all day long on
it's
how to
not
read.
Not like egregiously bad, I don't think, anyway, but.
Okay, just not it.
She was off on a couple.
So, we get up there. Nate putts it. It breaks left. It breaks right. It was a double breaker. It's coming down the hill, and oh my God, he freaking sinks the putt from about 34 feet. He's off the green. It was a $350 putt, and I think I was more excited than he was. And like before he made the putt, I'm like, this is stupid. I hate Vegas. We're never coming back here. This is dumb. I don't understand why people play golf. Like, this is stupid. I'm not even happy in my marriage and my kids are stupid. Like, it's affecting my whole
world. It's thrown everything off. Yeah.
And then he sinks the putt, and it's like, the world is great. I love everything. And I told him, I said, Nate, I've worked with you a long time. We've
best
been through a lot.
Ever. My kids are awesome.
This is the greatest.
Is the greatest.
Yes. And it's like the biggest contribution Nate has ever made to my life. I straight talk. This is the greatest thing you've ever done. We win the hole. We tie. We don't have to pay anything. So let's be honest. That's a little bit of money right there, right? And then
And Phil didn't talk to me for the rest of the night.
So then we didn't have time to eat. We go back to the hotel, and then that's where we will pick up the story next. When we all meet up at Summer League last night, it was the New Orleans Pelicans versus the Sacramento Kings. Buddy Hield.
Funny thing about a pelican.
Yeah.
Its mouth can hold more than its belly can.
Okay, is that true or is that just an awesome rhyme?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. See, pelican, belly can.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about with delirious. So for those of you listening right now to the radio show, I want to acknowledge you and thank you for sticking with us so far. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to pick up the program and talk about Summer League. DeMarcus Cousins spoke to us, Katie specifically. Jimmer Fredette spoke to us, me specifically. We'll play both of those. And then we have some thoughts, obviously, on these Kings.
And some of the other rookies we saw.
Some of the other rookies we saw. And I think we need to get into what is the virtue of Summer League and what do we and shouldn't we pull out of this whole deal. So we'll dive right into Summer League next. Right down here from Las Vegas, thanks to Jiffy Lube and The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
He's playing
at a, I saw this last night. He's either playing or just played. He and Huey Lewis are both playing right around the same time.
What?
Maybe I think Kenny Rogers actually just played. It's at that winery near Livermore. But Huey's playing. You can't get into Huey for like under $150 now.
I'm telling you.
Get out of here.
It's worth the money.
The kids are starting to.
You got a four-pack of a celebrity golf tournament, American Century Championship Celebrity Golf Tournament passes up in Tahoe. If you've never been before, not only is it a great break from the hot weather, but you do have a lot of – if you're an autograph hound, if you just like to rub elbows with athletes, it is a great opportunity to be around those peeps.
It's 6:35. Time to drive safe. But if you're in an accident, visit Gambos.com for a free online estimate.
We'll start off our Summer League visit from last night, in which the Kings took on the New Orleans Pelicans. The Kings keeping their record perfect by losing to the Pelicans. It was a fine, fine night indeed. Bright spots and also some not-so-bright spots. But we'll start out. The Nuggets played in their Summer League game right before the Kings. And if you've never been down here, it really is, it's kind of a factory. They have the one game.
It's like a cattle call.
And then immediately after that game, the next game starts in the same thing. They've got Cox Pavilion and Thomas and Mack are basically the same building separated by a concourse. Okay. So you got people going back and forth, back and forth. It really is a basketball fan's haven down here to watch Summer League ball.
Oh, dude, it's awesome.
Nate was talking about it last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool enough that we get to do it in a professional setting. But, like, this is the type of thing where I could easily just come down here for a week with my buddies and get hammered and watch hoops all day long.
Seriously, and hang out in Vegas and do your thing, and you're seeing all the rookies, you know, all the draft picks. And yesterday we had Buddy Hield of the Pelicans versus our guys. So, but the game before us was the Nuggets, and there's a couple old friends there. We missed Michael Malone. He had a thing and then got right on the bus. We were hoping to catch up with Coach Malone. But one guy we did have the opportunity to catch up with, a fan favorite from back home, Jimmer Fredette, who was there with his wife, Whitney. And if you ever
followed... You're a huge fan of both of them.
Huge fan of both of them, yeah. And basketball aside, you know, say what you want about if good or bad or whatever. That's not about that. When he was here... I'm a huge fan of players that ingrain themselves in the community and are good people, and I've never found anybody better, at least, than Jimmer and Whitney.
I think one of their best contributions to the community was their house at Christmas.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, they used to really, really do it up.
And now they have Golden Retriever puppies. And they now have three, and they're giant. So this is a very fluffy yet fun. You know, this isn't a hard hitting visit with Jimmer. It's more of a catch up. For everyone back home, I had a chance to visit with him after the game. Here's Jimmer Fredette.
Here with one of my favorite people in the world, period. How can you not love this guy? Our old friend Jimmer Fredette. Good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. There's a lot of people that miss you back in Sacramento. You're doing your thing, but a little part of you that misses Sacramento?
Oh, of course. I love the people out there. You know, I had a great time. Whitney and I really enjoyed it out there. We loved the community and all the fans that came out and supported us, and they still support us today, and, you know, we're appreciative of that. And, you know, it's a great city, great basketball town, and we love them.
Yeah, I hope you don't take offense, but I saw you. It was great to see you. But the first question was, where's Whitney? Because you guys endeared yourself so much, and it's like we know you and her. We know your big, giant dog.
Yeah, they used to be,
how are dogs tearing up your house?
Oh, they're awesome. My good old George, and then their brother and sister Summit and Vanier. They're doing awesome, and I mean everyone wants to know where Whitney is. It's not just you. It's everybody. I'm second fiddle now.
What's changed about your game? What are you trying to do? Obviously, you're trying to break back in. You've been up and down, and you're paying your dues and then some. What's different about Jimmer today than Jimmer with Sacramento?
I feel really confident in my game right now. Just shooting the basketball really well. I think my middle game is better. Being able to get into the lane, floaters, looking for other guys, but just being aggressive and knowing who I am 100% as a basketball player. When I get out on the floor, they want me to be aggressive, try to score the basketball, and then make the right play after that.
Is there a little part that's easier? I mean, I know it's been a hard road, but when you came out of school, it was so crazy for you, Jimmer Mania and all the press and everything. Has that kind of helped you find an easier road now that maybe you don't have all those crazy media obligations, at least as much as you used to?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it's definitely slowed down to a little bit. I always get fans in the crowd, which are great. They want me to shoot it from really far out and everything. And I'm appreciative of the fans and everything, but it's definitely slowed down and kind of lets you just focus on your game, not worry about anything else, and just play within yourself and do what you do out there.
Biggest thing you need to work on?
Just continuing to grow as a defender. I'm really, really done a good job of getting better at that end of the floor. And just trying to find a spot. You know, I'm excited to be here in the summer league and show teams what I can do again. But, you know, obviously my knock has always been the defensive end of the floor, but I believe that I'm a better defender than people think.
Some Mike Brotz and some of the front office over there. I know you're here with Denver. We need shooters. I'm just saying, I'll put in a good word. I'll give you guys a Twitter's account. We'd love to have you back home.
I appreciate that. It would be awesome.
Take care, Jimmer. Good to hear.
Jimmer Fredette. There was this.
Your fandom is like you're waving the flag.
Hey, baby. Let me tell you.
Come back and see us, Jimmer.
Love Jimmer.
I know.
Come on home, Jimmer. I'm like the guy. I'm like the one guy.
Yeah.
I would love to have Jimmer back.
I don't think you're like the one guy.
Maybe.
There's a lot of guys.
I'm a sucker for Jimmer Fredette. Yeah. What do you want from me? And I feel like Jimmer Fredette in another world, like if he had.
Is it just because he's a really nice guy? Is that where
I'm not
going to
lie. I'm a sucker for nice, down to earth NBA players. And I know that that does not necessarily help you win ball games. I enjoy people that appreciate the city, that aren't from here.
That makes sense for me.
And ingratiate themselves and get involved. That being said, yes, I'd rather have somebody who's a D-bag who, you know, is going to pop up 27 points.
I don't know. It's kind of like our caddy was telling us yesterday with, like, expectations versus
right. Whatever.
Like, with Jimmer, I kind of have a soft spot for him, too, because he stuck through college. Like, he worked his ass off and improved his game
sure
in college and is unquestionably one of the best college basketball players ever.
Absolutely.
And so I want to see a guy like that succeed.
I think when Jimmer came out of college, I think honestly the ceiling for him, what a lot of people were hoping that his game would be, is a lot of what Steph Curry is. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking offensively,
right.
Obviously. Steph mm-hmm. has skills that Jimmer could never have.
Right.
But I just the shooting ability and the crazy shots that Steph drops, I think that's kind of what people were hoping to see out of BYU from Jimmer.
We touched on this a couple weeks ago, you know, in regards to the draft and everything. One of the interesting things is there is a knock against guys that stay in college because a lot of teams look at them as they've most likely reached their potential, but that's not generally the case. I mean, how many guys peak out at 21, 23, you know, that's around the age that guys are coming out. Usually they peak a little bit later, but in Jimmer's case, he's got the skill. The one thing that is really, really hard to work on and improve on is overall athleticism.
Sure.
His foot speed. His foot speed is really, and he talks about the biggest knock being defensively. It's not because he's not smart. It's because he's not very quick. So when it comes to your first step and your foot speed,
the snap reflexes,
the lateral speed, that is what is making it a challenge for him to stick in the NBA.
He's a great guy, though. I love his story because he's one of the most hyped players to ever come out of college, the whole Jimmer Mania thing.
Yeah.
And then last year he's playing in New York in the D League, and he's still busting his ass. He still has a great attitude. He's 27 years old, so we're not talking about little tiny baby Jimmer anymore. And so he's gone from like the crazy Jimmer mania.
Are there baby
Jimmers? There are not.
They just have.
Well, let me ask you
puppies.
This: are there any adult Jimmers?
Right, there's the mid-size Jimmer.
Oh, there's the mid-size.
You know that you go
That's
from
kind of like our rental car. We've got the mid-size.
The mid-size Jimmer.
Yeah.
you go from Jimmer mania to, and I caught myself during that interview. If we replayed this part, you'd hear me almost stammer a bit. I was trying to ask him if his life was a little easier now that Jimmer mania wasn't down his throat. But as I was asking the question, I was afraid it would come out like, Jimmer, you're really not a big deal anymore.
Yeah,
so is it easier?
Yeah.
I didn't want
nobody cares.
Right? I didn't want to come out that way. DeMarcus Cousins visited with Katie Christensen yesterday. Don't know why I use your last name, Katie. They know who that you are.
Okay, well, it's all right.
We'll get into that when we get back as Katie visits with him. What's one good question you asked so we can tease the audience?
You know what? I asked him about the retirement of Tim Duncan. And there was some interesting things that come out of that, but also, you know, caught up on his prep for the Olympics.
What did he tell you about Tim Duncan?
Oh, we'll tell you after the break.
Ooh, right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. We'll be here tomorrow, finish up, come back Thursday morning. So we'll do tomorrow's show from down here.
We'll come back. You'll go back and you'll go again. You're going on vacay, right?
Yeah, a little mini trip.
You know what? When you're away from your family, that's like what you have to do when you come back, right?
You need
to like schedule in some family time and make them know that they're still very important to you when you're off UFCing and summer league.
Yeah. We'll be on the beach. We're just going to go a little coast trip Thursday, Friday. I'll be back Tuesday, as a matter of fact. So it'll be the two of you. I know I play the role sometimes and goof on my wife and my family and how stinky and lame they are, but I miss the hell out of them right now.
Of course you do. You're babies.
Yeah, exactly. So that'll be good, and then everyone can bitch about it. I always take time off. And then it'll be the two of you through Monday, and then we're back again on Tuesday. Real quick, before we get to DeMarcus Cousins, Nate, I don't know if you knew this or not, and knowing you, you probably did. I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he somehow the topic of Rich Paul came up. And are you familiar with the name?
I should be.
You'll know. Rich Paul is LeBron James's agent.
Gotcha.
And helped start with Maverick Carter and a bunch of other people from LeBron's inner circle. Started, Clutch Sports? Which now some of the clients, including LeBron James, which is enough, Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, so there's your Cavs, Eric Bledsoe, Ben McLemore, and Costa Kufis, which is another reason I'm bringing Rich Paul up, because those are two of the three guys on the block with Rudy Gay for the Kings, and John Wall, Ben Simmons, he might be good. So Rich Paul, you know, that's who that is. Mm-hmm. So I never really read about Rich Paul. So me being dumb me, I started reading about him. And this is what I didn't know. First off, Rich Paul is 34 years old.
Right now?
Nate, how old are you?
Right now.
You're
30.
30. Okay.
Rich Paul is 4 years older than you, and he's younger than I. And I believe he's
younger than I.
There you go. I was going to say around Katie's age because I was going to be polite. But there you go. Rich Paul's 34 years old, so that's the first thing that's super depressing. But this is interesting about Rich Paul, I thought. In 2002, when LeBron James was just a pup, he was at the Atlanta airport. He was there for the Final Four. And there was this kid, a 20-year-old kid, selling throwback jerseys out of his trunk. And LeBron went over and was very impressed with the Warren Moon throwback that this kid had. He bought the jersey. They exchanged phone numbers and information. And very soon after that, Rich Paul, who was selling the jerseys, was invited into LeBron James' inner circle. LeBron James was originally represented by Leon Wood.
To do businessy things, right?
To help with the businessy things. So LeBron James has a very small inner circle of guys, again, like Maverick Carter and now mm-hmm. Rich Paul and a few other people that he sticks with for everything. So Rich Paul is arguably the most powerful agent in the NBA. And he got his big break from selling throwback jerseys out of a trunk at the
Final
Four.
Poor Paul.
He's certainly not poor Paul. Yeah, he's Rich Paul.
He's Rich Paul for sure.
Just a little nugget. Oh. Never knew that. And I thought that was very interesting when I read about that. Good story. Good for him. What? Right? It kind of pisses you off.
Find me.
Yeah, exactly.
Find
we'll all sell jerseys.
Yeah.
We didn't have to sell jerseys to meet up with DeMarcus Cousins yesterday as he was out supporting his team. He's been down here, I think, every year for Summer League as he prepares to go to Rio for the Olympics and hopefully come back very healthy, as I knock on wood. Here's KD's visit with DeMarcus Cousins at halftime of yesterday's game.
All right, DeMarcus, you're here in Summer League right now, but you're here because of USA Basketball. Just give us an update on what's going on with that right now.
You know, I've been out here preparing for about 2.5 months, trying to get my body in the best shape possible. Excited about, you know, the journey coming up. I think we got a young good core of players going into the Olympics. It's going to be about sacrifice. It's going to be about, you know, doing what's best for the team, whatever that takes. And I'm excited. Probably one of the biggest stages in my career right now, and I'm excited about it.
So you leave Vegas tomorrow. You get to go home back to SAC for a couple days and rest. When do you have to report back, and what is the steps from there?
I got about 5 days at home. Got to report back the 17th. So I'm going to go home, rest up a little bit, spend some time with family, kind of kick back. So I know I got a rough stretch coming up, about a month and a half or so. So just try to get my mind right in a couple of days.
So far, being here in Vegas and being with the Olympic team, what is the one thing that you've kind of taken out of it right now that you think is going to help you, you know, come this season?
For some reason, when I get around those guys, I always come back a better player. I don't really understand it. I don't really have the answer to it, but I'm okay with it. So my biggest thing is just coming back a better leader, a better player, and you know, hopefully I can help this team improve even more.
Today, the news broke from the Spurs that Tim Duncan has decided to retire. And I know that you and I have had conversations kind of about Timmy and your interactions with him at the All-Star game. Just your thoughts on his career.
Plain and simple, greatest power forward of all time. True definition of a pro. He carried himself in the right way at all times, through adversity, whatever the case may be. So I think when it comes down to it, every big man should, you know, that should be the first guy they look at. The big fundamental. I mean, everything he's done speaks for itself. So.
What do you think has been his biggest imprint on the NBA?
I'll have to say how he carried himself. Like, I think they wrote a book on how to be a professional. Tim Duncan will be that person. So I think that's the biggest thing.
All right, well, thank you always for the time, and good luck in Rio. Make sure you take your mosquito spray, please.
All right, thank you.
Make sure you take your mosquito spray.
Yes, that was my advice to him going to. I'm very, very worried about the Zika.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found it interesting. I didn't, for all of you listening at home or in your car or what have you, I didn't ask him about Summer League because it's one of the things. He's down here for USA Basketball Summer League. It was in the middle of the game. I think at this point, that was game three for the Kings. He hadn't been to a game yet. So it's like, okay, what do you think about Summer League? It's the same thing every year. It's a chance for kind of the young guys to go out there and make an impression. I don't think that sitting there watching 20 minutes of basketball because they're 10-minute quarters, that he's going to have an impression on Summer League. So let's just get that out of the way first.
I mean, I agree with you. I would say that he's going to have more of an impression than if he didn't see it at all.
Logic dictates.
A couple of things that you can pick up on. And we'll get into this next.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about Papagiannis and the big rookie who played yesterday, who looked horrible. I mean, it was embarrassing how bad he looked out there.
But if they were going to hand out medals for backing a guy down, but not making a move,
yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, he'd be a silver medalist at least. He'd qualify for the Olympics.
He knows how to have his to the basket.
And when we get back and we talk about him along with the other kids out there playing, we'll talk about something else he won a gold medal for, and that is not backing down, as there was a little bit of skirmishing going on right when we arrived at the game yesterday, and we'll talk about his involvement next at the Drive Sports 1140 KHDK.